The weekend posed next-level challenges to police departments who've already had a tough road adapting to the challenges of policing during the COVID-19 era. Protests over police use of force are not new to Michigan's law enforcement, but the intersection of protests with pandemic and the ensuing losses in the community adds a lot of layers. Tony Holt is the chief of the Wayne State University Police Department. He's been involved in police work for about 45 years. Chief Holt, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Tell us what the weekend was like for your district.
You know, we're in the heart of Midtown, and all of our officers are sworn Detroit police officers also. So not only do we take care of the campus area community, but we take care of the historical district like Woodbridge, the cultural center, and the Midtown area around the campus. So we respond to quite a few requests for services. Where there are major events going on downtown and elsewhere, then we join in and we assist Detroit police, and we're part of the response to those events.
Yeah.
So this weekend has been very challenging.
Can you say about how many of your officers got called in to help out?
Well, last night, for example, I had six officers and myself downtown. Working with Detroit Police, I would like to say that protest is a method of change. My father has been involved in a protest in the early 60s with Martin Luther King. I've seen protests, and that's when things get done. So I want to make it clear that Wayne State Police is not here to curb protests. I look at it as we want to make sure people have their right to protest. And we want to make sure the protest doesn't take a turn where it becomes destruction of property and people, especially police, getting injured and citizens.
Chief, as we've mentioned, you've been doing this job for 4 decades now. What were your thoughts on what we saw over the weekend compared with people in the street in years past?
Well, I think now you have a much, much larger coalition of people coming in and protest. You know, this is not strictly just the neighborhood or people in the city coming in. You have protesters coming in from out of town. We have a large, it's the most diverse protest I've ever seen in quite a long time. I worked at Chrysler's years ago when the League of Revolutionary Workers was formed. And it's pretty much an all-African-American group. This is a real diverse group of people coming protesting. And the difference with this protest, they want change and they want it right now. They want it 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. The Wayne State University Police Department has taken on a project to become a national de-escalation training center. Can you tell us about what this project means and how it's changing the work that you're doing?
Well, it's a big change. It changes the use of force continuum where we start and where we escalate to. Now we're at the very beginning stage. We want to do a de-escalation. This is not a typical de-escalation where you let a person vent and you talk them out of it. This is a very basic scientific method where it's based on personality traits. And then out of these 4 major personality traits, there are about 26 subcategories where we try to get train the officers to recognize the person as an individual. It's not a one-size-fit-all de-escalation. It's not the type of de-escalation where you're going, okay, the person's upset, we let them vent, we let them run around, and we say, that's okay, we walk away. This is where we take steps to understand what the situation is and how we could de-escalate that situation where it does not come to a physical use of force to stop that.
One of the cornerstones of police training is the idea that officers need to maintain a certain amount of command presence. That's, I guess, the term of art you'd say that you see in academies. Do de-escalation principles in any way conflict with other kinds of training that your officers receive to try to maintain control?
Yeah, I think it's going to change some of that type of behavior. You know, we're starting at the low end. And we're hoping with this de-escalation, you do not have to escalate to the next step. You have to maintain a level of control for your own safety and the safety of those around you. but you want to let the person know, now, I understand what kind of problems you have, and you could see by the personality standard that the subsets of these categories individually what this person is going through, and it help you to understand what those next steps are to take. You're right. It does change the traditional matter where you go in with this, where you let the person know, I'm in control, I'm running this, that you're going to do as I say, and you're going to do it now. That's going to change that sort of concept. And I think the academies themselves are teaching de-escalation, and that old theory of the type of police officer walk in, everybody be quiet, I'm running this, this is what we're going to do. I think that's been moving away from that direction for years.
Mm. At the same time, and not speaking so much to what Wayne State Police have shown, but we are still in a place in this country where a great many officers are aware of eyes of the public on them with respect to how they are using force. How long does it take to undo the training and the traditions by which policing have been conducted here?
Oh, I don't know if it's going to really take that long right now. If you look at what just happened, and you look at when you're dealing with the public, everyone has some sort of cameras. There's video around. Officers are wearing body cams, their dash cams in the car. If this doesn't have an effect in you as an officer, then you really need to turn in that badge. You have to realize that the way that you react to what you saw on television and that video, you can't do that.
Right.
Now, there's all sorts of training that police go through. That's probably 100 different type of training that you'll see all the time. But the question is, in this type of training, you're going to have to get buy-in with the officers and say, this is a cultural change here. This is what we're doing. This is how the way we go to police. And policing and training and buy-in is a top-down matter. You have to, the officers have to know that the leadership of the department and the leadership of who the department reports to, this is the direction we're going in. And you have to get buy-in because it's from the top down.
How difficult is it to try to implement such a fundamental principle at a time when the larger area of Detroit that Wayne State University Police are a part of is going through this serious period of civil unrest? I mean, are those principles still relevant when folks are out in the street?
Oh, yeah, this is when it has to start. Yeah, the timing could not be better for this to start, because you're dealing with an angry crowd out right here. There's a distrust of law enforcement, and they're responding to what they've seen on the video. Not that one incident. They're talking about a historical perspective of what they've seen. They're looking at this and saying, wait a minute, we're going back to Rodney King, and this is still going on? So this is excellent training for the officer. It's an excellent opportunity for the public who we have contact to say, well, no, we're coming towards you with a different perspective. Mm-hmm. It's going to be difficult because we're dealing with a very tension-filled, upset public, which is rightfully so.
You mentioned that there are things that you can say to officers about how their, how scrutiny demands this in the moment right now. Are there things you can also say to them about how this might help them do their jobs better?
Oh, absolutely. This is a method of obtaining trust by the community and obtaining buy-in by the community. And I think the timing is good because it's going to cause you to work extra hard to get that buy-in. And this is not an overnight. You're not going to build trust overnight by having these one-on-one with the counter. The community and the citizens want to see this in action. You could say community policing, but when they see a person lose their lives on a video within 9 minutes, they want to see where this change is taking place and how you approach them and how you police.
Anyone who's had a chance to observe police in action has probably seen some form of de-escalation technique. But can you tell us anything else about what people might expect, what's going to look different in the years to come if de-escalation is fully put into practice?
Yeah, I think what you're going to see is you're going to see a different response. I'm speaking by our agencies, the agencies we'll be involved with. I think you'll see a different response when you call the police. I think you'll see more of a shared response where we're going to try to do a little more understanding of what the situation is. It's not going to be the simple reason, okay, we're here now, you walk away and cool off and don't have us come back here again. I think you'll see a completely different approach. I think you'll see an approach where we will recognize that it might be a mental health issue and we might need to get you assistance on a mental health issue. You might see us approach where we say, you know, this is an issue of what you don't have. You're not eating properly. You don't have access to this part of the system, and we need to do that. You might see an approach where on a traffic stop we approach you and you might say, no, I'm not giving you my license and I'm not getting out the car. And you might not say, okay, you have 30 seconds to do this or we're going to take you to the next level. I think you'll see a discussion more of why you're stopped, why you're angry, and what this stop is about.
Chief Tony Holt leads the Wayne State University Police Force. Chief Holt, thank you for your time.
Thank you.